KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
I would like to take it to the news desk of Alec Medford, who has an update on your basketball reporter for ESPN who will be joining that team.
Yes, so Shams Charania, of course, breaking the news of his own news that he will be joining ESPN as the company's senior NBA insider. He says he can't wait to be a part of an incredible group of colleagues at ESPN and serve the sports audience worldwide. So it seems like this is effective immediately. Mm-hmm. They didn't really give us, I know Front Office Sports was all over it, but they didn't really say when his deal was up with the Athletics. So it looks like it's a done deal now, so. There you have it.
There you go. Shams is now with ESPN, so he won't be spending as much time with Kay Adams, which is a benefit to all the rest of us. But I don't know if the Daniel Jones news is legit with that. So I'm still kind of digging on that to try and find out what's going on.
I think we would have heard more about that by now.
Yes or no.
I guess that is a good point.
That's fair.
Maybe. Those are the only three options. There.
Or no.
All right. So this is from Brooke Pryor, who I believe is an ESPN NFL reporter covering the Steelers. She just tweeted out, after ignoring interview requests post-game, Steelers wide receiver George Pickens walked through open locker room today, sat inside the equipment room for at least 30 minutes, where he was visible but not available to the be requested for interviews. Per NFL media policy, players must be available for interviews post-game in addition to during the week. Now,
so he didn't want to talk to anybody about, hey, Jordan Lewis said you suck.
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, that's how much Jordan Lewis and Diggs got in his head from leading up to it, man. I love this. He is so frustrated by his performance out there. And that dude's a mouth. Like, that dude will talk. He does not back off from talking trash about people. But when he gets whooped like that, he's quiet.
Does that make you not want to hear from that person anymore when they're going to run their mouth when things are going good, but can't handle the scrutiny or critique when things are bad?
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
I'm with you.
You gotta be able to look at everything and say that wasn't good enough. And I got to go do work to get better.
Yeah.
And just like the Cowboys should be saying to themselves today, they all should be saying to themselves, hey, we won, but it's not good enough. How can we get better this week? That's what you got to do. All right, so I'm bringing something new to the C Block on Mondays, and that is called Hits and Misses. So I'm going to take the top three players from the weekend and the bottom three players from the weekend. Maybe it won't even be players. We'll get into that as we go along here. Kevin, do you want the top three players or the bottom three players from this weekend?
It's good that you added three players on there. I will say, let's hear the bottom three players.
I'm glad you said three players right there, Kevin. Number three, Joe Burrow. 392 yards, five touchdowns, one interception, and he still lost.
Oh,
that stinks. I'm really sorry about that, Joe Burrow. It was a phenomenal game on your part. Unfortunately, because you didn't get the win, and this is really weird because one of his teammates is in the top three players, you didn't get the win, and that made because another quarterback got you, man. Mm. Another quarterback got you. Number two, Aaron Rodgers. Three interceptions in London, which I believe transfers to five interceptions.
Yeah, what is the conversion?
He also had one fumble. Even if it was recovered, he still dropped the ball on that one. Kevin, I told you on Friday, I was hesitant to say, because Aaron Rodgers has beaten us so many times. I was hesitant to say he was completely washed. But after last week, I said, Kevin, it is time to admit it. He is washed. And he did not look any good at all. There were a couple of moments where him and Garrett Wilson connected. And of course, he was on my bench in fantasy football. Mm. But there were a couple of times. But other than that, man, he looks like he's holding the ball too long. He looks like he doesn't play fast like he needs to be playing. Like he thinks he has all the time in the world back there. And that's the part of the game that I think he's lost is his feel and urgency for the position. So Aaron Rodgers in the bottom.
If they would have won, do you think he would have been open to listening to a conversion rate joke? Like, it was like, oh, how many three interceptions. How many is that in America? Do you think he'd have been like, ha, 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 because we won? Or do you think he'd be like, stupid question?
Probably. So here's the conclusion I came to about Aaron Rodgers. He cares less about winning and team doing things together than he cares about himself being looked at as important around the room.
Oh,
he thinks that I'm the quarterback, I'm the star, y'all traded all this for me, listen to me, I'm bigger than the coach, all these things. I think that's what he cares about more, and I think this leads into his personal relationships too as well. That's redundant, but I think that's what I've come to conclude with Aaron Rodgers is he cares more about looking important and being told that he's important than he does about all the other things that it takes to be a team. And I don't think that as important as I think the quarterback is, I mean, look at what Mahomes does. He includes everybody. That's why those dudes rally for him.
Yeah.
The relationship that Aaron Rodgers seems to have with the teammates is very gilded, very fake, in my opinion. And that's based on everything that I've been watching. I've been watching Aaron Rodgers for a long time.
Yeah.
There was a moment when he was that great and he was the one that could do it. Those teammates loved him too.
You know what I still don't like to this day is that Sean Sharif has tried to disconnect as if he was part of the wasn't part of the process when him, RJ, and Fish were watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette with Aaron Rodgers' brother, and they shushed us.
They shushed
when
us.
When we walked in the house at training camp, they're like, shh, it's the finale.
We had some big news that day too. We had some important stuff to share, and they were like, silence!
I feel like Sean Sharif has tried to distance from this group, but we remember. The North remembers who was in that group.
The North? What are you talking about? Oh, because they're the morning show, and we're like, I don't know.
It was just a Game of Thrones reference.
Number one, bottom three players of the weekend, Sean McDermott. What a dumb decision to throw the ball as often as you did in your own territory that late in the game. Run the ball. Get the clock. They were more than happy.
Yeah.
Houston was like, that's fine. We'll let this clock do its thing, and we'll get the ball, and we're going to get in position to kick a game-winning field goal.
And they did.
And they did. And Sean McDermott, you are the number one bottom three. You're the number one bottom.
So just, okay, three. I just want to clarify this for future segments. I'm pretty sure I understand, but being the number one in the bottom three means you were the worst, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, got
and
it.
For honorable mention, Danny Canales. He has gone on record admitting that he put Bryce Young in the game because he wanted to save Andy Dalton from physical harm from the Bears defense. So he put what they've said is the future of the franchise out there to get destroyed possibly instead of Andy Dalton. So that is your bottom three plus an honorable mention.
Man, I like this segment already.
Your top three players of the weekend. Tank Bigsby, 13 carries, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 catch for 28 yards, and 65-yard touchdown that he broke off.
Yes.
Tank Bigsby ran tough, and he ran effectively for the first win for Mike Bassick's Jacksonville Jaguars. They finally did it.
That team still sucks.
Dude, was that really? I think it was the first time all season they've had a halftime lead. And I was being sarcastic about it at first, but then I was like, hold on, maybe it's true.
Okay, this was part of a captivating text exchange that I can't believe Mike jumped in on. He goes, yeah, and they already won, and the Cowboys are going to be, I can't remember if he said like they're going to be losing 7-3, and he goes, it's already 8:34 here. I know what's happened. And I
news
just.
News from the future.
News from the future. We haven't done that segment in a long time. I loved that segment.
Number two, Lamar Jackson, 26 for 42, 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, 55 yards rushing. He gets the win over Joe Burrow. That's why he's in the top three. Unfortunately, Joe Burrow landed in the bottom three.
What do you think of Derrick Henry after the game being like, that's why he's the best player in the league or the GOAT in the NFL?
Are you talking about Lamar?
Yeah.
And that's what teammates do. They prop their teammate
exactly.
up. And you know, I brought up that Lamar Jackson is now looking like MVP level again. He can be the most valuable player on that team. They look like a force. They're running the ball effectively. He's picking up yards in the air, and their defense is playing along with it. Although yesterday they did struggle a little bit, but they're doing what they need to do to win games. Lamar Jackson is right there. You, however, have a different take on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so I think Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott have little to no chance to win MVP this year, regardless of what their stats look like, because they've now been branded as people who don't win in the playoffs. Kind of think about it as the Dirk 2007 hypothesis. When Dirk won the MVP in 2007, very well deserved, but then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. I thought voters are not going to take him seriously again until they win. So my hypothesis is, regardless of how good the stats are from Lamar Jackson and or Dak Prescott, I do not believe that they will get serious MVP consideration, because even though it's a regular season award, people are going to be like, I'm not voting for him for MVP because he's just going to lose in the playoffs.
Okay, that's an interesting take. And from the fan text, they're talking about the Lamar Jackson needing to focus, having some other problems in that game. He could have been the reason they could have lost that game. He also scored me 42 fantasy points. How much does this segment have to do with my fantasy team each week? You'll find out as we go along. So oh. I made a big trade and got Lamar Jackson, and he immediately paid dividends for me. And the number one top three player of the weekend, Ja'Marr Chase. 10 catches, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Should have been enough for them to get over the top, but Joe Burrow obviously failed them with his 5 touchdowns.
Alex shaking his head no.
Oh, that's fine. And Alec can do that. And
did you lose
AM on the
fantasy
FM
matchup because of that?
In my league with my friends, my opponent got maybe like 7 to 10 points from everybody on his team. But he had Ja'Marr Chase. I scored 135 points and I lost. I hate football.
It is tough.
Just a reminder, tomorrow, Alec, we'll do the segment. Nobody cares about your fantasy football team.
I might lose my voice.
Except today we do.
The honorable mention for the top three players, Caleb Williams, 20 for 29, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 for 35 rushing. Caleb Williams had a really good game.
He did.
And they get the win over a really bad football team. Look, they're not going to act like the Panthers are good at all by any means.
Fair.
But Caleb Williams needed to show that he could play that kind of game to himself. More than anything else, he needed to show to himself that he could do it. And then I rolled over, and Kevin, I did the top three players from the Cowboys game.
Ooh.
And unfortunately, I did the top three players from the first half and then top three players from the game. And I don't think any of them are all like together on this.
So this is very like old school minor league baseball, where we've split it up first half champion, second half champion.
The top three players of the first half, the defensive line. Was fantastic in the first half. Tyrus Wheat, Linval Joseph, even Golston, who Kevin gave up on, all very, very good.
No, untrue.
I don't know if I don't know if you've heard of this guy, DeMarvion Overshone. He was fantastic in the first half.
That's my guy.
And the guy Kevin said could never do it, Brandon Aubrey, in the first half of the game.
What?
Very, very good kicker, Alec. I know Kevin's kind of been against kicking.
Those are all people that I've supported a lot.
Questionable. And then top three players of the game, Jalen Tolbert. I mean, he got the game-winning touchdown catch. Hunter Lipke for his impressive play late in the game as well. And Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle had the fumble that could have been, like, really cost you.
Yeah.
But I go back to, he was effective running the ball. And by him being effective running the ball, it kept the defense honest. That's all they really need. We would love to have Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry be the balance like they have right now with Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry balances it out. The Cowboys need effective right now. And then later down the road, they can find something that's better than that, than what they have. Maybe the kid out of Boise State, as Mike brought him up a while back.
Start the tanking right now, gentlemen. Yeah. Man, that kid, we'll talk about him more tomorrow. That man is freaking amazing.
But Rico Dowdle did enough, scored a touchdown for you, and did enough to keep the defense honest. And was it a bad defense for Pittsburgh? I don't think it's terrible.
No,
but they kept them honest, and that was enough to give Dak the time that he needed to make some big plays.
I know we're going
to
talk more fantasy football tomorrow, but for the 9-0-3, I had Lamar, Chase, and Evans in fantasy. Ooh. I demolished my opponent.
Yeah, man, that's fantastic.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We'll go across the NFC East tomorrow. Next, it's NFL overreaction or reality. We'll do it right here on 105 Through the Fan.
But they have brought Brandon Aubrey out, and Brian Anger puts the ball down at the 44, so this is 54 yards. Operation is clean. Kick from 54 is away. Nothing bothers Butter.
Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor an hour and a half delay.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, where Brandon Aubrey extended his NFL record by having his seventh straight game with a 50-plus yard field goal.
I'm glad you're finally recognizing him.
That's progress.
I always recognize him. You can also recognize Eric Chiafalo tomorrow morning between 9 and 11 a.m. If you go to the Lowe's off of 1710 Chalk Hill Road in Dallas, got the opportunity to pick up your Whataburger-themed G-Bag flag as well. We've got NFL overreaction to reality, but Corey has news.
Jordan Schultz is reporting sources say that Marshawn Nealon avoided a serious injury Sunday night. No ACL tear, but there is a lateral meniscus tear. Dr. Cooper's going to repair tomorrow, per sources. Great news. Could have been way worse. That's the only person so far that I've seen that from.
Okay.
Jordan Schultz. So if you want to check him out, he's an NFL insider. So.
And when we asked Stephen Jones, he said, still looking into that. But yeah, fingers crossed we can have him back this year, which that's never exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, lateral meniscus. I don't know how that all like.
It's to the side of the other, or excuse me, just behind the other meniscus.
Okay.
It's a lateral meniscus.
All right.
All right, it's time. Jeez. Shut up, Alec. I have stayed away from this all show. Now, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. NFL overreaction or reality. I should definitely stop getting my hopes up and just accept the fact that the Cowboys will never be a team that doesn't get a lot of penalties. We've heard week after week after week. We're working on it. Feel like it's getting better. It's not. 11 penalties accepted for 87 yards. It just, last game, they had 11 in the first three quarters. So NFL overreaction or reality, just accept the Cowboys, for at least the rest of the season, are going to get lots and lots of penalties.
Kevin, that first one on the opening play of the game, I was like, not again. No, we can't do this again tonight.
There were multiple, I mean, think about it. That play to start off, that I just assumed was against us. The one where the fact that the Cowboys had two different plays with multiple penalties on the same play, the fact that Brock Hoffman got a penalty on his first or second snap of the year, it's mind-boggling, but I guess it shouldn't be. So NFL overreaction to reality, that's just the way it is. Deal with it.
Overreaction.
Okay.
You got to be a disciplined team, though.
Why?
To do that. What do you mean, why?
We won 36 games in the last 3 years. I don't know if you heard that.
But in order to be the kind of team that you want them to be, a not so heavily penalized team, you have to be more disciplined. But I don't think you just have to accept that they're going to be that way, Kevin.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality, you get concerned and perhaps a little bit embarrassed for players who continually hold their fist up for fourth down when the player clearly got a first down. Now, I realize...
That happened to your favorite player last night.
I know. I realize we all have the advantage of, if you're watching it on TV, you can see the yellow line, or maybe you have a better view of the chains. But like, surely you know going into it, it's third and half a yard. Well, that person broke through the first line and crossed over a couple yard lines. And then every time, players immediately rush in and hold their fist up. Mm. And I'm like, they got the first down. They clearly got the first down.
Happens on the goal line all the time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody will hold their hands up, touchdown. All the offensive linemen are like, yeah, we did enough. And then on fumbles, everybody thinks their guy got the fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Just like last night. We knew Carl Lawson had it. How did he not have it?
See... Man, those are the three football behaviors. That, the DBs who wave their arms and they had nothing to do with the reason it wasn't completed, and the person who I'm like, there's no way you could see who has that football. And he's like, yeah, the offensive lineman. There's eight people in between him and the ball, and he's like, yep, we got it.
Yeah, I also love when the entire sideline is signaling catch, and the referee's like, come on, guys. Y'all know that wasn't a catch. Incomplete pass.
Do you think there's a study out there that say like which refs are most susceptible to peer pressure?
Yes.
So like if you really...
No, I do. I do think, okay. Not that there's a study, but I do think they kind of keep an eye on certain things and they got to be telling each other, no, hey dude, this dude always, whenever this happens, I think there's definitely some politicking that goes on in sports.
NFL overreaction or reality? This one's going to be a little tough. The Washington Commanders are a savvy bet as a Super Bowl long shot. Now, before this weekend, the Washington Commanders were 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. They have now dropped to 30-1, and Jaden Daniels looks freaking incredible. NFL overreaction or reality at 30-1. That is a good bet on the Commanders.
It is a good bet. 50-1 was a better bet.
That is true.
And I don't know that it's all smoke and mirrors with this team because Jaden Daniels is playing the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Like he's delivering big time throws. And as we discussed last week, he escapes more than he runs. He escapes pressure. He escapes a pocket that's collapsed and then survives for the next play. He doesn't try and say, I'm going to be a hero on every play. He just plays within what the system is. And as you saw with Jordan Schultz also said this, Kevin, no player in NFL history has ever had 1,000-plus passing yards and 250-plus rushing yards in their first five games until Jaden Daniels. You are witnessing a superstar being made right now. And if he could have just connected with Terry McLaurin on that one.
No, I don't want them to be better.
The fantasy team would have benefited,
though. NFL overreaction or reality, Alec, I'm going to give you a shot to start this one. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, it makes no difference. The Raiders are screwed.
That is a reality because it seems like you have the head coach that's kind of questioning some of the guys on his own team, you know, making the business decisions. We've talked about that quote a million times, and that still sticks with me. Their number one player, arguably, and Devontae Adams wants out of there. So like, it feels like that none of these outside factors are going to help that because I just don't think there's an overall sense of confidence in that group that they can be anything. And I think that is reflecting on the quarterback play because I didn't think Minshew was going to be bad. I didn't think he was going to be great. I thought he was going to, you know, maybe bus drive them to a couple of wins that you would be like, huh, they did it. Cool. But up to this point, it has been bad. Aiden O'Connell, I don't think is going to be an NFL quarterback. He's an NFL clipboard holder. I'm cool with that. And I think he's a great clipboard holder at that. But I don't think it matters. I think this team is just morally shot already, which is weird because it felt like the head coach, Antonio Pierce, was supposed to be the moral victory of the offseason, and yeah. I don't think he's really doing that.
Now, since he mentioned Devontae Adams, Corey, I'm going to pivot. The Jets were close, but for a second straight week, they did not look great offensively. Do you trade a day two pick and maybe more to go get Devontae Adams for the Jets?
Overreaction.
Okay.
Because I don't think the quarterback in Devontae Adams would even work for the way the quarterback's playing.
Interesting.
I said this last week, Kevin. I think even if they went and got Devontae Adams, Devontae Adams would be like, you're not the same quarterback I remember.
Damn true.
And there might be a moment where Aaron Rodgers goes, you're not the same receiver I remember. You're not as fast as I thought you were. And Devontae Adams would then look back at him and say, doesn't matter how fast I am. You can't overthrow me anyway. So it doesn't matter. And then there would be a feud between them, and then that it would just be the Jets happening as the Jets do. So, no, I don't think they should do it.
Now, this might sound harsh, but NFL overreaction or reality, short of a time machine, the Cleveland Browns are screwed for the next 2.5 seasons. All right, because people keep talking about Deshaun Watson getting benched and everything like that, and that's all fine and well. His cap hit the next 2 years is $72.9 million per season.
The discussion of you're paying the NFL is paying quarterbacks that haven't done anything is a real discussion. And I mean, if you want to have that conversation about Dak, that's perfectly well balanced conversation that you can sit down and have. But this is another reality where if you mess that up for 5 years, your team's screwed for a while.
Yeah.
Same thing happened in the NBA. If you mess up your draft picks, your team might be screwed for a long time. So in the NFL, I think you got to be very smart and really have a good understanding and that your scouting department knows what they're talking about when they're projecting a quarterback.
NFL overreaction or reality, despite two straight losses, the Buffalo Bills will win the AFC East by multiple games.
Who's competing? No, yeah, you're right. That's
the
reality.
Thing. I just don't really see it.
If the Dolphins had a quarterback,
yeah,
I might be able to jump in that conversation because they are a complete team almost everywhere but their offensive line and their quarterback. And then I guess Jalen Phillips got hurt again. That dude, he can't catch a break to save his life. So, yeah, Miami can't compete with them. The Jets are falling apart, and the Patriots aren't going to be able to do it either. So I do agree that that's where you'll see with the Bills.
NFL overreaction or reality. I want to get both of y'all's thoughts on this one. I don't think this is going to be the answer, especially what you saw from Dowdle. I'm just going to throw it out there. The Cowboys will trade for a running back before we reach the trade deadline.
Overreaction.
Okay.
I don't feel like they want... Let's assume that they're recalibrating.
Yes.
Or soft rebuilding. Giving up draft capital would take away from that for the now. And that they don't want... They're more worried about, I think, Kevin, if this is a real thing... Staying competitive, being around the rim, as they say, giving themselves a shot in the playoffs to do something, being good enough to be there, but they're also not willing to give up the capital that it takes for a couple of years from now to be better. So I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to sit tight on what they have and hope that it's good enough to get by.
I'm going to say reality because I don't think when you propose that question, it has to be a headliner move. It has to be a household name.
Fair.
Because I know that there's probably people in the building that wouldn't be happy hearing this, but I think it could be like a Brandon Cooks situation where I think at the trade deadline, they could say, look, it's a good player. He could help someone. He's not helping us. So let's go ahead and try to get something out of that and see what happens. I think there's plenty of teams that probably have a running back committee where they're like, hey, this dude's good. Doesn't really play for us. May as well go ahead and try to get a six-round pick out of him or something, just so we can say that we got value one way or another. So then you get someone to add to the mix, because Deuce Vaughn was inactive yesterday for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, that should be very telling of what they think about their running back room right now. But that also shows...
Or they need depth at defensive line.
Sure.
Like, that's...
And you could see, and I heard Broadus talking about in the pregame yesterday about carrying the extra linebackers. Chrissy Scales was kind of hinting at that, and look, he ended up needing it because Marshawn Nealand went down, so that was a great call by the team. But at the same time, it could also be foreshadowing that they think that Rico Dowdle is going to be that guy, and to his credit, he kind of showed that yesterday, that he could be the bell cow. So I still say reality. I don't know if it's even going to be a starting caliber running back, but I think they'll add.
And then one more really quick one for y'all. NFL overreaction or reality, the 49ers are in a lot of trouble.
Overreaction. That was, though, Brock Purdy's best offensive first half that we've seen in a while, and then he sputtered out in the second half. Jordan Mason fumble, that little fumble right there and recovery by San Francisco. You're today going, okay, that's back to what San Francisco is, but that was bad for them. They're in a bad situation, but they still have the talent to get out of it.
I think they're in trouble. I think this is reality, and it's because Purdy isn't that elite quarterback that can power through those things. He's a really good quarterback, and like Corey just said, look, he had a fantastic half of football, and really overall, most of the game, he looked really good. They still couldn't put it together. Without Christian McCaffrey, that thing needs some WD-40 as quick as they can get it. That thing is not fun to watch right now.
I will say, though, the rest of their schedule is not easy by any means, with the Seahawks, who are chumps. I mean, they lost to the Giants.
Dang.
The Chiefs, Cowboys, Buccaneers, Packers, and Bills all slated as well on that.
And I want you to all consider, did Alex say WWE-40?
No, that is not true.
WD-40. I heard WWE-40.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the 21, Fields to Pickens in the right flat. Standing and looking, there's a throwback to Seumalo, and he's tackled by Ferguson, but they keep his feet. Time's expired. Fields throws it across the field. There's a reverse lateral in the air. Ball's on the ground. Cowboys win.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. You might have heard that promo talking about the G-Bag flags. Tomorrow, Eric Chiafalo will be at the Lowe's off of Chalk Hill Road in Dallas from 9 to 11 a.m. handing out those Whataburger-themed G-Bag flags. Eric, are you going to bring any extra stuff for the people?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm going to have free breakfast, all right? So you just come to the pro desk with me. You'll become an MVP in about 30 seconds, and then I'll hand you burritos, quesadillas. You want the chicken, you want the beef, I got you covered. Family four packs of the Texas State Fair as well. We got some haunted house tickets. And how about this? $25 gas cards as well.
Oh,
so it's really just going to be an incredible
those on hand now.
Tuesday breakfast opportunity. I may or may not. If I accidentally forget those, I'm sorry, Tolos. They just stayed in my pocket somewhere.
Sounds like you're the MVP.
Yeah, well, I'm doing what I can.
Proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I just saw this in the fan text, and I wanted to ask questions about it if you want to. IndyCar and the Cowboys and the Rangers are teaming up for an IndyCar street race.
Yeah,
awesome.
In Arlington, around the ballpark and the stadium over there. So I'm interested to see what up and down the street. Maybe they'll run the roads that me and Dawson did on the parade route, where I was just hammered driving him to his car. And he was like thinking he was in an IndyCar at the time. Turn here, bro. Bro, turn.
Yeah.
God, you're up on the curb again.
Just wheel it.
Still, my favorite story from that day is just the way you casually, Dawson, you're like, yeah, they wouldn't let me through. I couldn't get in, so I took a nap on a bench.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, oh, okay.
I did there on the north side of the old ballpark. You know, they got that nice lawn. And it wasn't a bench. It was just a nice piece of grass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You
know, I popped up involved when I heard the horns honking and everybody yelling.
No.
So it's going to be a 2.73-mile circuit around AT&T.
Here we go.
Globe Life Field, and it's going to weave through the core sports and entertainment district.
There you go.
So that's set for 2026 March.
Make sure all the manhole covers are bolted down.
Yes.
True.
Those things like will Vegas pop up and wreck a floor of a car.
Do you think there's going to be plenty of man-eaters out at that event?
Man-eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Hall & Oates is doing the song nice. Man-Eater.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Watch out, Eric. Mm-hmm.
Bring your tree best. Yeah. You stay away from my manhole. All right.
Now, okay. This captivating crosstalk, you're welcome, brought to you by D&M Leasing. Are you guys, do you have a sense of relief about Marshawn Nealon as we're starting to hear more about that?
Six games is tough.
Yeah.
That's how many games you're probably going to miss six games.
And so
I'll take it at this point, though.
Okay, because you thought it looked like probably done for the season, right?
Sure.
The way it was playing out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think you play five games, it sucks that you got to go sit out the middle third of the season, but now you have a great chance to have a productive rookie year where you're building, and you know, now you get a different perspective, and you can come back, try to finish strong, and work on some of the things that you need to be a little bit better at to be amazing. So all in all, this is about development. That's what this season is about, and we're seeing it start to come around maybe with the offensive line the last couple of games, the run defense last couple of games. So as long as we can get young players making progress, all is not lost.
I know we've talked about Overshown for a couple games. I thought he looked fantastic. I thought Wheat overperformed my expectations. I was curious.
It's a bad call. It's a bad rough call. Yeah, and Broaddus was losing his mind in here.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in the chin.
Yeah.
Didn't lead with the helmet. He was on time as you could be, like right there. It wasn't
super punctual
at all.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, when Sean Hockley and the umpire both were in bad position, all I saw was the head snap. And they thought that it was helmet to chin is what they thought.
Well, it was just such a hard hit. It was like a cartoonish fallback there from, it was a flailing field.
He leveled him.
Yeah,
he smashed him. He was off balance for sure.
And he made plays in the run game too. And he almost had a sack. Fields didn't see him coming on one of those plays where he was thrown off to the right and he was screaming off the edge there. So yeah, we did show out yesterday.
Was there anybody else who, I guess maybe per your expectations, had a exceptionally good game?
I don't know the kid's name. AO, your corner.
Okay.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, you're dealing with, you know, guys, they've got a couple of receivers that, you know, that you needed to kind of be concerned about, and he was able to kind of flip sides, you know, when they wanted to They wanted to take Diggs and move him and try and get him with Pickens. They were able to kind of adjust. So AO, you know, he's one of those guys who'll tackle for you. He's probably not the fastest, but when it comes to playing the zone coverage and stuff, he's not going to make huge mistakes.
And then going back to sacks, you know, Tolbert had a big game overcoming the pain.
Yeah.
Great production.
I love
it.
He's a baller.
That was amazing.
Okay.
I see what you guys are doing. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We repeated that quote to Stephen Jones. It seemed like he
liked it.
He thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
He really was like,
some of these guys are straight shooters. You know what I mean?
Also, I'm not saying I'm surprised or anything like that, but I appreciated him giving us the answer that if it's not because of injury, he does not anticipate Tyler Smith being out there at left tackle in lieu of Guyton.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that decision? Because it did seem like things were clicking pretty well once you kicked Tyler Smith
Herbert
out.
Herbert got hurt too for them, which helped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, and that's something you have to mean. It was going prisoner for prisoner yesterday in that battle. And so, yeah, it helped. You're absolutely right. They do a better job when the combination blocks and stuff like that they do. Smith and Bass were really good at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes, you know, BB gets a little too, you know, it's a little too connected to his guy and he doesn't has a chance. Like, say, you'll go back and watch the tape and you'll see BB, he just gets a little that, like I say, too connected and he doesn't get the linebacker. If they get the linebacker, it's an even bigger play at times. But yeah, they're going to put him back there at guard and, you know, the kid is the future and he's got to learn along the way, as they say.
I forgot.
Go ahead. I'm just ready for this team to have a good offensive line again, Heggie.
Yeah.
You know, it's unsettled now. It's not the same quality that the previous one was built on, and it always gave you, like, a floor. Like, if we just stay healthy, we're going to knock people down, and we're going to protect our quarterback. You don't know that. You don't know that you're not going to have to go back into the first round and continue to invest assets in
you're
making this thing happen.
Right about that. You know, and you're in a situation, too, you know, I promise you that Tyler Smith took absolutely no snaps at left tackle in practice last week. And for him to go out there and play at the level he did, again, it was good that they lost a guy. They lost one of their better players out there. But still, that doesn't matter. Nobody feels sorry for you. You were losing players, too. So, you know, it's the way it goes.
I forgot to ask Steven this, and I'm kind of kicking myself for it. Is there any sort of policy in place where, like, if it got to be midnight, where they would be like, I guess we're going to play the game tomorrow? Do any of y'all know?
I was wondering aloud last night.
If it kept getting delayed.
Yeah.
If it kept, you know, if they kept all of a sudden, you know, that
but
band
there's
is
no official time, like 3 a.m.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's like baseball has a curfew, or do they still have a curfew?
I don't know if that applies in the playoffs, but I did know, yeah, that was the case. And yeah. I had the chance, I just totally forgot.
Sometimes, though, you're in a situation where the airport you're at might close down. And you can't get the team out.
Oh.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's weak sauce. Dude.
I didn't even think
your
about that.
Your airports aren't 24/7. Get it together. Our Whataburgers are, dog.
Yeah, they're not. But some airports close down at certain times. And if you
Bucky's is 24/7. I can go get a brisket sandwich anytime I want from Bucky's. And you're telling me I can't get on your airplane?
I think the biggest concern, though, is the TV people, right? And what do they want? Do they want this game to happen?
Sure.
Or do they want to wait until tomorrow night when we can get it in front of a better audience?
Right.
Hey, what'd you guys think of Dawson's face?
Oh, yeah. Where are the eyebrows at?
See, he's strategically placed.
He lost again this week, to make a good measure.
He was strategically placed where the bar was like covering up the top part of his face, and I did not notice.
They're high.
Lack of eyebrows. Are your eyebrows also hair follicles of the gods? Because I remember when you shaved your head, you're like, I have hair follicles of the gods. And they're
still holding up strong. Yeah, okay. They should be back in under average.
Okay.
But once you really focus on them, though,
that's all I can see now. That's all I can see. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure gold, as always. Thanks for asking. We'll have our top Cowboys takeaways right out of the gates here and where it went tragically wrong once again coming up in G-Bag Survivor at 2:20.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. Go see Eric tomorrow.
Jade, guys.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is your tease right there. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
JT literally sprained his nuts.